Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Beis, so it's a day you gotta put your whole heart into. So let's do it. So we got up to Tana Rabbanan on the third line. And this is going to require, I think, a fundamental look at the entire parsha of the Avodas Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim, so we can finally get it clear. If you don't concentrate on getting this clear, then there's going to be so much confusion the rest of the Masechet. And it's really quite straightforward, but it's worthwhile having a Chumash in front of you, as I wrote you yesterday on our Daf little chat. So please make sure that you've got just a simple Chumash Vayikra, and we'll get through this much easier, I think. So, Tana Rabbanan. So we're up to the third line. Amud Aleph, Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk of Uba Aharon el Ohel Moed. Now, what the heck is he buying for? What's he coming? Now, in order to understand this question properly, you got to look at the Parsha and take a look. Let's get a good sense of the entire structure of the Parsha. So this is in Perek Tet Zayin of Vayikra, where we go through all of the Avodas of Yom HaKippurim. And let's just take a look, starting at the beginning. So we have the Bezot Yavo Aaron in Pasuk Gimel. We see that he's bringing a par ben bakar lechatat and an ayah la'ola. Now that's obviously his own, right? It says he's got to bring this. And then our crucial pasuk, one of the crucial psukim in today's analysis, is this pasuk: Ktonet bat kodesh yilbash. So now we're describing his four special begadim, which are called the Big Day Lovan on Yom HaKippurim. And then unnecessarily, it says Big Day Kodeshim, well, obviously Big Day Kodeshim. And then Virachatz Bamayim et Besaro Ulvesham. So now this is very crucial because it's telling me that when he's going to put on these begadim, he's got to go to the mikvah. Now, that's going to be involving us in this issue of the number of tefillahs and kiddushin and so on that the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing, because this is one mocker. It says whenever he's going to put on these big day lavan, he's got to go to the mikvah. Now, the next part starts talking about what about the korbanos that come from Klal Yisrael? These are the korbanos that he needs. So here it says, "Umeit adat b'nei Yisrael yikach shnei si'irim lechatat." Now those shnei si'irim turn out to really be one integrated korban, because one of them is the soyer la'azazel, and one of them is the soyer la'ashem. So these are those shnei si'irim. They are called echatas, and then ayel echad la'ola. So now the question whether this is a different aisle or whether this is the same aisle that shows up in Parshas Pinchas, that we'll discuss later on, but it's not important to decide here. So how does it start? So it says, V'ikriv Aaron et parachatat asher lo, v'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beto. So when it says V'ikriv Aaron, let's just understand that that does not mean he brings it onto the Mizbeach. When it says V'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beto, it means he's mitvadeh. So he brings it up to himself, that is to say. He says the vidui, and this is what we do when we say the Musaf of Yom Kippur, and we go through the Aveda. This is that first vidui. That chatasi aniu vesi. Fine. That was said on that parachatat asher lo, which was the parachatat mentioned in Pasuk Gimel, bezot yavo aron el hakodesh, bepar ben bakar lechatat. Then he takes the shnei asirim. Those come from Bnei Yisrael. He puts them, Lifnei Hashem Petach Ohel Moed, and he does the Goralot. So when Atan Aaron HaShnei Asirim Goralot, chooses one of them, Alpia Goral goes LeHashem, one of them goes LeAzazel. Next step is, he brings the Sa'ir Asher Allah Alava Goral LeHashem, that one is brought up as a Chatas, and the Sa'ir Asher Allah Alava Goral LeAzazel, that is meant to stay, meanwhile, Yomad Chai. And we keep that here, l'chaperalav. L'chaperalav means we are going to say a vidoy over it, and that's going to be the big vidoy, that's the third vidoy that he's going to say. That's the vidoy for all of Klal Yisrael. And that will ultimately be for the purpose of L'shalach oto l'azazel ha-midbar, which he hasn't done yet. Now he's bringing it parachatat ha-shalor for the second time, right? Now, obviously, v'hikriv doesn't mean he brings it on the Mizbeach because he hasn't even shechted it. Because at the end of the pasuk it says, v'shachat et parachatat ha-shalor. So then that means that the bringing of the par is to achieve the kapara of vidui. So v'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beto. But he already did that, because that's what it said that he did the first time, v'ikriv Aaron et parachatat ha-shalor. Exactly the same words in pasuk vav. Look at pasuk vav. V'ikriv Aaron et parachatat ha-shalor v'chiper ba'ado va'ad beto. So from here we learn that there is a second vidui on the same par, and the second vidui, like we say, on the Musaf of Yom Kippur, where we go through the Aveda in that poem, which has a lot of inaccuracies, as you're going to find out as we go through this Masecha. So as we go through that poem, we discover, yes, that there he says, Ana Hashem, and this is the Kapora for me, for Beiti, and for all of the Beit Aaron. So that Beit Aaron is also called Beito, because it's called Beit Aaron. So there's two different meanings of Beit here. Beito is his personal bayit the first time around, and then Beito in the second time around is Beit Aaron Baruch Hu Hashem, and that is a reference to all of the Kohanim who are mitchaprim from this as well. Okay, next thing he does is he takes Meloa Machata Gachale Esh Mi'ala Mizbeach Milifnei Hashem Melo Chofnav Ktoret Samim Daka. He brings the Ktoret Mibeit LaParochet, which means in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he puts it on the Esh, Lifnei Hashem, and then the Anan HaKtoret covers the Kaporet, Asher Alaidut, Velo Yamut. This is the big problem that we have with the Tzedukim, because they think that you're supposed to put it before you come in. Fine. Here it says, Ve'evil Mibet LaParochet totally, as we'll talk about later on. Okay, so now he completes the Ketoret, and then he takes the dam of the par that he had shechted before, and he now sprinkles that blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, al pnei HaKaporet Kedma, v'lifnei HaKaporet yazeh sheva pa'amim min adam be'etzpo. What is that supposed to mean? What do you mean, v'lifnei HaKaporet? So we understand that to mean al pnei HaKaporet is achas lamala, and lifnei HaKaporet is sheva lamata. And that's what we do when we do the achas, achas v'achas, kacha yamoneh, for the dam of the par that he's putting on the kaporet, not literally on the kaporet, as we'll see, and we already talked about, but towards the kaporet, kimat slif, remember? It's a question of how his hand is facing, which we learned earlier. Then, v'shachat et seir achatat asher la'am, that is the seir achatat asher Allah alav hagora la Hashem, because he had already taken those two seirim, and he does the same thing. He brings the dam into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he does the same thing to the dam of the seir la Hashem that he did to his own par. Kasher asal adam par. And he does achas lamala, sheva lamata, izoto ala kaporet, vilifnei akaporet. And this is going to be a kapora al hakodesh bitumot b'nei Yisrael, umipishehem l'chol chatotam. So this is only a kapora on this specific issue, not the chatoyim of b'nei Yisrael in general, but from those who came in bituma into the Beis HaMikdash. And all of this was b'shogeg or b'mezid, and he does exactly the same thing. V'chein yaseh l'ohel mo'ed, so he sprinkles exactly what he did before. Achas l'mala, sheva l'mata. He does this towards the parochet, exactly the way he did it towards the kaporet. So then that means we've got these four hazoyos of achas l'mala, sheva l'mata, in both of the inside and in the Heichal, both in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Heichal, and both from the Par and from the Soyer, right? Okay, so now we've got a clear sense of everything that he's done over here. And then, after he does that,
sorry to clarify this, there's a separate kapara for each
Hazah. Yes. four. There's four separate azos here.
What are the different ones? You mentioned the last one.
You do inside from the Dhammapar, and then in the Hecha from the Dhammapar, and then you do inside from the Dhammasoyer, and then in the Hecha from the Dhammasoyer. V'chol adam lo yeh ba'omoed, b'vo'o l'chaper ba'kodesh, atzeto, v'chiper ba'ado, uva'ad beto, uva'ad kol ka'al Yisrael. So that we have three separate groups that are mischaper, himself and her family, the Kohanim, and the kol ka'al Yisrael, specifically on Tumas Migdash v'kadosha, not on all the Chataim of Bnei Yisrael. We'll see later on, it's a machlokas, whether for the Kohanim, is it also limited to the Inyanim of Tumas HaMikdash HaKadoshav, or for the Kohanim, does it include more? Do we say, whatever is the Kapora of the Soyer Lazazel for Bnei Yisrael, is the Kapora for the Kohanim on the Par, or do the Kohanim also get their Kapora from the Soyer Lazazel, and the Par is limited? That we're going to talk about later. Now, we have yet more hazoyas. He goes now v'yatza el hamizbeach. Now it's very strange to say v'yatza because the mizbeach hazahav, the mizbeach asher lifnei Hashem, is in the heichal, and he was already in the heichal because he was already sprinkling. The last thing we mentioned is that he was sprinkling in the heichal towards the parochet. He's already left the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's no longer sprinkling towards the Kaporet. He now has the Dhammasoyer, and he just finished sprinkling it on the Porochet. So why does it say V'yatza? He doesn't go out anywhere. So the V'yatza over here means that since previously he was between the Mizbeach Hazov and the Porochet, he needs to not just turn around and sprinkle now the Dham of the Par and the Dham of the Soyer on the Mizbeach HaZahav, facing the other direction. No, he walks out, meaning beyond the Mizbeach HaZahav, turns around, and now faces the Mizbeach HaZahav as he's facing the Porochet behind the Mizbeach HaZahav. That's why it says V'yatza. Now, we'll see that when it says V'lakach midam ha'par u'midam ha'sa'ir, it's a machlokas later, but we paskin that it means both of them together. So he mixes the Dham ha'par into the Dham HaSoyer, and now he uses the mixed Dham of them both. Remember that we use this as a Raya, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Dham is not Mevatel Dham, and then we said, Bekotchim, it means everybody is made because of this Pasuk, because Hadover Yadua, the Dham HaPar is Meruba Mi Dham HaSoyer, so why isn't it Mevatel the Dham HaSoyer? That's all discussions that we've had before in many contexts. But here the simple meaning, let's just worry about here. He mixes the Dham HaPar and the Dham HaSoyer, and he puts some of this Dham on each of the four kronot of the Mizbeach around it. And then he takes this mixed Dham on his finger, and he sprinkles it towards the Mizbeach's top. And that is V'tiaro V'kicho Mitumot B'nei Yisrael. That's the end of what he's doing inside of the Heichal. Now he walks out to go back to the Seir HaChai. And now he does the third vidui. He gives the Seir into the hands of an Ish Iti who takes it out to the Midbar. Okay. Now it says, Uba Aaron el Ohel Moed. Okay. What does he do there? There's nothing left to do there. Why is he coming into the Ohel Moed at this point? And then when he finishes what he isn't doing, he takes off his big day habad and he leaves them there because that's the last thing that he needs to do, but we have no idea what it is that he did. It just says he comes in there. It's very weird. For what purpose does he come in there? That is the problem that we need to deal with. Furthermore, in the next pasuk it says that in doing that, he must now also be rachatzit b'saro b'mayim b'makom kadosh. He has to go again to the mikveh, apparently, put on bigadav. These bigadav can't mean his clothes, his weekday clothes, obviously, because he's about to go out to do the aveda v'asat olato v'atolata am v'chiper ba'ado v'ada am. So obviously, it's talking about putting on his big day zahav now, right? So when it says v'lavashet bigadav, as opposed to the pasuk that we had earlier, which was pasuk dalet, remember? Over there it says that he puts on k'tonet bat kodesh yubash, u'michnesei bad yu'al b'saro, and there it also says v'rachatz b'saro, he goes to the mikveh, and he puts them on. So now it's repeating what appears to be the same idea, except this time it says v'rachatzet b'saro b'mayim, v'lavashet b'gadav. This time it's referring to going to the mikveh when he's putting on his golden clothes, not his white clothes, his big day zahav, his eight begadim, as opposed to the four begadim. No Sesame Street, Moshe, concentrate. So he needs to, you're on candid camera, Mo. Yes, indeed. We know what you're doing. One of the dangers of being on Zoom, you know, ultimately you can't blame all these guys that hide themselves, you know, behind their names. It's only the guys who've got the guts that are really into the learning. They're exposing themselves. Yes, indeed. All the other shirkers, we know what's going on. Yes, indeed. All that Sesame Street behind the names. Nothing can hide you. All right. So as you can see, we basically have two psukim. Posik Dalet, which mentions the Rachatz B'mayet B'saro L'Vesham in reference to the big day Lavan. And then we have Posik Chof Dalet, which mentions V'rachatzet B'saro B'mayim V'lavashet B'gadav in terms of the big day Zohav. Both of them seem to be essentially the same, except that one is talking about the big day Lavan, one is talking about the big day Zohav, and we can celebrate the happy Zohav day that has Akiva back with us, apparently recovered from his COVID, we hope. Or at least he's back at work, somewhat. Okay. So this gives us yet another pasuk of rechitza.
Are the words inverted, rachatz b'mayim, between
what?
Between the original pasuk where we quoted the dalet and this pasuk.
Rachatz, yes, the words b'mayim et b'saro and et b'saro b'mayim are inverted, yeah. Okay, now let's see, what does he do after he puts on his big day zahav? So now he continues to work on the avodas Yom HaKippurim, but he's bringing, at this point, he goes out to bring his ola and the ola ta'am. So what is his ola? It said, Bepar ben bakar lechatat ve'ayil la'ola. So now he's bringing his ayil la'ola. And what is the ola ta'am? That was what it said before, u'mi'et adat b'nei Yisrael, yikach shnei sirim lechatat va'ayil achad la'ola. So now we've handled the Shnei Seirim L'chatat, we've handled the Par L'chatat, and we're left with U'ayel Echad for the Ola of the Kohen Gadol, and the Ayel Echad L'Ola for the Ela Am. So you can see how logical this is. We handled the Chata'ot, they were all done inside. Now he's coming out, and the first thing he does is he's wearing his Big Day Zov, he brings the Shnei Elim. One of them is for him, Olato. One of them is for the Am, and that is completes his kapora v'chiper badova ada Am, because the Ola is always the ritzui on the Chatat. Now he turns to what's left to do of the par and the sawyer that he already brought inside. And the halacha of a par and a sawyer that's brought inside is that we still have to bring the emurim outside, right? Because there's nowhere to bring the emurim. So we brought the dam inside. You can't bring the emurim on the Mizbeach HaZov. The Mizbeach HaZov is only for the purposes of the Ketores, as we saw many times. And therefore, at Chelev HaChatat, that's a reference to both Chataot, the par that's his, and the Sa'ir that's the Sa'ir LaHashem, which is La'am. And that is Yaktir HaMizbeach on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, obviously. Correct? You can't bring up Lo Ta'alu Ketoret Zarav Ola on the Mizbeach HaZahav. So forget that. Meanwhile, the guy, the Ish Iti, who had brought the Sa'ir La'Azazel, is on his way back while the Kohen has done all of this, and he has to be Mechabez Begadav, Verachatzit Besaro B'mayim. So he requires Tfilah, he was Betame as Begadim, and only then is he going to be able to come back into the Machane. Now, the other thing that needs to be done is that the Parachatat and the Se'ir HaChatat, whose blood was brought L'chaper in the Kodesh, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in the Heichal, that now needs to be taken. The Boser needs to be taken on Mechutz L'machaneh, V'sarfu Be'eshet Orotam, V'et B'saram, V'et Pirsham, and that is also done outside. That's it. Ta'ita lechem lechukat olam, b'chodesh ha-shevi'i, b'asor lachodesh, ta'anu et nafshotechem, and so on. Now, the only thing that didn't make sense in this whole thing was that crazy pasuk of Gimel, which said, uba Aaron el ol moed, and never told us what he did, and just tells us he comes in, and whenever it is that he's doing, he should then take off his big day lavan and leave them there. So what is this about? That is where we are now up to in the Gemara. So the Gemara now asks, what does the pasuk mean? Tana Rabban, uba Aaron el ohel moed, lama huba. What is he doing there? There's only one thing that's left. What he's doing there is that he has to take out the kaf umachta, because before it says v'natan et haktoret ala esh, and it never said what to do after that. He obviously can't leave the ktoret there on sitting there on the floor, and he's going to let it continue to. I mean, what happens after it's finished? So it never told us. That's part of his duties, in the same way that we know that there are these chiyuvim of taking off ashes. We have that in terms of the Mizbeach HaChitzen, and we have that in terms of the Mizbeach HaZov, and we have that in terms of the Menorah. It's also true that we have a Hotzah Kafu Machta, which is an important Aveda, needs to be done by Big Day Lavan. That's what he did. That's the last thing that he does with his Big Day Lavan, and he leaves his Big Day Lavan. And as we said, we had that machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rav Dustoy as to whether that means he leaves them there, that he can't, literally they have to be hidden and they can never be used again, or whether v'ini chum sham means that we leave them because only a Kohen Hedyot can use them. And those were the same weird case that we had before, the same begodim that can be used for the Haramas Hadeshan that we were learning about earlier, that Ulav Esham comes to tell me that Chiddush, according to Reb Dustoy. Okay, so that's our question. So therefore, we now come to explain the fabulous analysis of the Parsha that this Pasuk adds. Eino ba elolotzia takaf ha-machate, Kol ha-parasha kula nemra la-seder. Everything that we just read made perfectly good sense, except for that one pasuk. And we can understand that one pasuk is definitely not in the correct order. Chutz mi pasuk ze. This pasuk is in the wrong place. Now, first of all, it's clear that it's in the wrong place because it says uba. Uba Aaron el Ohel Moed, he's in the Ohel Moed at this point. So obviously he must have walked out of the Ohel Moed to do something else, and now he's coming back in. So obviously from that alone we know it's out of whack. The question is, we don't quite know where out of whack. So how exactly are we supposed to understand the relationship of this pasuk to the next pasuk that talks about going out and bringing Elo ve'el ha'am? So my taima, why in fact are we so sure that we have to flip this around? And Tosfos asks, what do you mean my taima? Isn't the reason enough that it says uba if he was already there? So, I mean, why do we need to say my taima? Why does Rav Chisda have to say my taima? So, fine. He says, okay, if it wouldn't be for what Rav Chisda is about to say, maybe we would have drayed and we would have said that there's this Gzeres HaKosov, that he has to go in Lifnai VeLifnim, and take it out and leave his begadim there maybe, and then he goes out again. Okay, so Rav Chisda is going to make clear that everything is perfect, and that is, we have a halacha l'moshe mi'sinai, gemirin. There are 5 tefillahs, 10 kiddushin that the Kohen Gadol does today. And we're going to learn out later on that those 5 tefillahs are done specifically in the context of the changing of the begadim. And we already noted that in Pasuk Dalet and in Pasuk Chav Gimel. Both of those psukim refer to rachatz et bisaro in the context of levishat begadim, right? So the problem is, how do we get to those 5 tefillahs if we're going to claim that the order of the psukim is correct? Because if Aaron is already inside of the Heichal, and he does not need to change his clothes from having done something outside to go into doing something inside, then we end up only having 3 groups of things that he needs to have different begadim for, you see. Because what we have over here is there was nothing that was done except for all of the avodos pifnim. He did the zrikas dam of the par, the zrikas dam of the soyer. He did the k'teres, he brought pifnim. He put the dam on the mizbeach hazohav. He took out the kafu machata. Okay, now he's finished. Now he goes out, and now he does all of the various things that he does outside, and that would be the musafim that are left, elova elaam. So we would only have 3 different states. First, there was the tamid shel shachar. That was the first part that we learned before. Then there was all of these. So that's 1 tefillah. Then we have 1 tefillah for the change into the big day lavan, all of the avodas hayom, the par, the soyer, the k'teres, and the hotzah of the kafu machta. And then we would have the closing, elo, elaam, the musafim, tomit shel ben arbaim, the k'teres that's brought every day ben arbaim, the hadlakas hamenera, all of that's done in big day zav, which gives us a total of only 3 sets. And therefore, where in the world would we get the idea of 5? But now that we add these, we say there's a separate one, which is first he does Elova Elaam, and then we put in this pasuk, Uba Aaron, he comes back in to take out the Kafa Machata. Then he goes back out. So if we take this pasuk and we put it ahead of the pasuk of the Elova Elaam, meaning after the pasuk of Elova Elaam, so it would mean he finishes everything inside, comes out to do Elova Elaam, which makes a lot of sense. He finished the Chatas, now he does the equivalent Ayla. He finished Par Ben Bakar, now he brings the Ayala outside. He finished the Sneis the Irim, now he comes and brings the El Ha'am outside. Okay, that's the next step. Then comes the Pasuk Uba Aaron El Ol Moed. And what does he do there? The only thing that's left to do, hotzat kafu machta. Then he changes his begadim again, after changing them once for going in for the kafu machta. And now he's going to do the korban tamid shel ben arbaim, together with the musafim, together with the keter shel ben arbaim, and the menorah, and so on. So now we've got, yes, we've added 5 separate clothing issues, because he has 1, the clothing that he puts on for the tamid shel shachar. That's the big day Zav back in the, which we are able to learn out from the general din of doing things with your begadim. That does not start here. That was back in the beginning of Vayikra. Then he, after doing that, he does the Avodas Hayom, the big day Lava. That was Pasuk Dalet, where he has these special begadim. So he does all of those things, and then he has to go ahead and do the Elova Elaam. But Elova Elaam is done outside in Big Day Zahav. Okay. And then he goes back in, puts on his Big Day Lavan, takes out the Kafu Machta, and then he goes out, takes off those Begadim, puts on Big Day Zahav, and now he does the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim with the Musafim, and so on and so forth. So that gives us five changes of begadim, from which we learn that the halacha l'moshe m'sinai is now consistent with a din of five tefillas for each one of these five changes, and two kiddushim, two for each one of these tefillas. So now everything makes sense. If we can remember that, everything else is easy. So therefore, halamadata. So therefore we have, And that teaches us that we would have the five tefillas. Tanya. Now the question is, how do we know the five tefillas? So as I mentioned to you earlier, we have two psukim. Pasuk Dalet and Pasuk Chof Gimel Chof Dalet. In Pasuk Dalet it says, if he's going to be putting on these four special begadim, Ktonis Bat Kodesh, and he has to be Rachatz Besoro. And in Pasuk Chof Dalet we have the same idea, except that over there it's talking about Rachatz Besoro to be Lavashet Begadav, which is the Big Day Zahav, V'yasat Olatovet Olata'am. Okay. Which one of these psukim, or which, how do both of these psukim interrelate in our limud? So, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, I say that we learn out the five tefillot and the asara kiddushin, shetov el kohen gadol, u'mekadosh bo b'yom, from the pasuk avuba aharon el ol moed, u'pashat et bigdei abad, which is pasuk chav gimel, v'rachatz bisaro, says v'rachatz et bisaro b'mayim, b'makom kadosh v'lavashet begadav v'yatzava asat olatov et olata'am, referring to the Big Day Zohav. From there I see that you need a tefillah and you need a kiddush adayim v'raglayim twice. It's not clear at all where he sees this, and we're going to get back to it to understand how he can assert that he learns out just from this pasuk all of that. Because this pasuk is only talking about changing into Big Day Zohav, and it doesn't say anything about Mekadosh Yadayim V'Raglayim. So somehow or other, he seems to be teaching us a lot more than he's bringing a proof for. Because now he says, Halamarta, see? You see from here that Kol HaMishanemi Avodah LaAvodah Ta'un Tefillah. All right, that's Rabbi Yehuda's issues. We'll get back to it in a moment. But let's see the alternative. Amar Rebbe, no. Rabbi Yehuda's focused on the wrong pasuk. The correct pasuk is the first pasuk that talks about putting on clothes. That was pasuk Dalet, Ktonet Bat Kodesh Yilbash. And over there, the end of the pasuk says that Michlas Ebad Yub is Abasaroso Minayin Lechomesh Tvilais Ve'asora Kiddushin Shetovel Kohen Gadol Mekadesh Bo Bayom Shenema Ktonet Bat Kodesh Yilbash. Back at the beginning, pasuk Dalet U'Michlas Ebad Yub Abasaro U'Bavneit Bad Yachgor ובמיץ נפש בד יצנוב, בגדי קדש הם, ורחץ במים בית בשרו ולבשם. That's where you learn out what Rabbi Yehuda said. הלמדת שכל המשנה מעבודה לעבודה טעון תפילה. Not to mention the fact, says Rabbi, that in that pasuk it gives us the fortunate addition of saying, ve'omer, בגדי קדש הם. Why do you think you need to say that? I mean, that's pretty obvious. Of course, Big Day Kodesh Hem. Ah, that is to tell me that Hukshu Kol HaBegadim Kulam Zeh LaZeh. There's no difference between a change of clothes from the Big Day Lavan to the Big Day Zav, and from the Big Day Zav to the Big Day Lavan. They all require this Rachatzit Bisaro, as we'll see. And that's how we know that you're going to have to do Chomesh Avodah, saying if you add up the five sets. What are the five sets? Tomid Shal Shachar, Tomid Shal Shachar, including, of course, Chavitim and the Ketera Shal Shachar and so on. Fine. We're calling that the Tomid Shal Shachar set. So the Tomid Shal Shachar, of course, is the beginning, and that's done with the same begunim that you wear all the time. That's the Big Day Zav. Aveda Sayom, set two, which includes Par Kohen Gadol, the Sayer, that is the Sayer LaShem, and the Zrika Saddam in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in the Heichal, and on the Mizbeach HaZov, and the bringing of the Keteres HaSamim that was Meyuchad for Yom HaKippurim. That's the Avodas Hayom. All of that is Bibig De Lavan. Okay, set two. Set three Elo ve'elam, the matching Ela to his par and the matching Ela to the Seir that was brought from the Am. Umi et b'nei Yisrael tekru shnei sireizim and an ayel echad la'olah. Now we took care of that. But that has to be done by Big Day Zov. That's set three. Number four, because it's not a set, it's one thing to do. And that is the pasuk that we analyzed previously, Uba Haron in pasuk Chav Gimel. That is the Kafu Machta. That is done by Big Day Lavan. And then he takes off the Big Day Lavan, Vini Chubsham, puts on his Big Day Zohav, and does the last set. The last set consists of the Tomid Shoben Arbaim, together with the Musafim, together with the Keter Shoben Arbaim, together with the Menorah, and so on and so forth. But we call that the set of Tomid Shoben Arbaim. That is Big Day Zohav. Each one of these five sets requires a tefillah. Now, how do I know that each one of these tefillahs requires shnei kiddushim, one before and one after? That we learned yesterday, remember? Talmud lomar, upashat, virachatz, and then it says afterwards, vilavash. And we are including the rachatz because it comes between the pashat and the rachatz, as we learned earlier, that you therefore put it in between, and you put the rachatz back onto the pashat at Bigdei Chabad, and we put on the rachatz, and then we go ahead with the vilavash, and we say that is now a rachatz in between each one of the pshitot and the levishot. So that teaches us, as we'll see the diyukim we're going to make in a moment, but this is just the raw data that we have from Reb Yudah and Rebbe. These are where we learn our respective halachas from. Now we're going to go back and we're going to analyze each one of them. But first, we need to know that Reb Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says, look, I don't need any of the raya about what Rebbe is saying over here, that we have to have the Shnei Kiddushim. Because, I mean, it seems to me that it's obvious, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to tell me that in general, that the halacha is that we always require a mokum she'ein ton tefila, we require kiddush yadayim v'raglayim every single day. A guy goes into the Beis HaMikdash, does he need to go to the mikveh? Not if you hold like Reb Yehuda, which I do. And I say the only reason you go to the mikveh was because we made that gezeira to remind people of Tumei Yeshana. It's only a tzrach tefillah. But do you need to wash your hands from and your feet from the kiyar, minyaraisa? Absolutely. Tone kiddush. Of course you do require kiddush. It says, bevoam elo amoed, ubekirvatam el hamizbeach. Either way, yirchatsu yedeihem v'ragleihem. Nothing about tefillah, but you definitely need to do a kiddush adayim raglayim. So obviously, ain't no din shaton kiddush. So then for sure over here, you need to have kiddush adayim raglayim. I don't need to have that pasuk that Rebbe claims he has a raya, because it's a kal v'chomer. Now, according to Rebbe, what Rebbe is doing is he's taking the rechitza in pasuk chav gimel chav dalet, and he's understanding it to mean Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, not Tefillah, as we'll see. Mashenkin Reb Yehuda, he doesn't have that available because he used those psukim to tell me the din of requiring Tefillah for changing from the Big Day Lavan to the Big Day Zav. Okay, so let's keep all of that in mind. So comes along Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, and says, look, if I hold of Reb Yehuda about the din of the mikveh at the beginning of the day, that it's only Durabbanan, then I have a kal v'chomer. If normally when you come into the Beis HaMikdash, you don't need tefillah, but you do need kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. So kosher kein, where you do need tefillah, so then of course you're going to need at least kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, of course, right? And there's no, you can't tell me, well, I mean, what does he need kiddush yadayim v'raglayim for? He went to the mikveh. No, excuse me. Going to the mikveh has nothing to do with kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, because kiddush yadayim v'raglayim has to be done from mayim that was mekudesh in the kiyar. And going into a mikveh has nothing to do with that. So how could it be yotzei kiddush yadayim v'raglayim? This is not eating bread that we're talking about. Well, you can go to the mikveh and you could dip your yadayim. You can't do that over here. So therefore, there's two totally different issues. Tefillah and kishadayim raglayim. Okay? So therefore, I don't need a pasuk. Except, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, okay, from my kal vachomer, all that I know is that you need kishadayim raglayim. But after all, over here we're saying that for each one of these tefillot, you need two kiddush adayim raglayim, one before and one after. Ah, okay, now that's a point. Ah, you're going to tell me, what good is your kal vachomer, excuse me, sir, from the kal vachomer, you would only know kiddush echad. So imala alan kiddush echad, afkan kiddush echad, so what do I, how do I know two? That's why the pasuk says, tamud lomar, Uba Aaron el Moed, Upashat et Bigdei Habad Asher Lavash. Excuse me? Upashat et Bigdei Habad Asher Lavash? This is the next point that we have in the magic pasuk that made no sense. Obviously, Asher Lavash, how can you take off clothes if you didn't wear them in the first place, for God's sake? What do you mean? Take off the clothes that he put on. Matamudomar. Can anybody take off something that he didn't put on? So it's a ridiculous pasuk. Hello, what's it coming to tell me? It's coming to tell me, note, there is a hekesh here that's being made between the begodim that he took off and the begodim that he put on. Just like at the time that he put them on, we learned before that he requires from the kal vachomer kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. The Asher Lavash teaches me that the Begodim Asher Pashat also need Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So here we have our first clear indication of why, based on the Kal Vachomer and based on the additional words in the Pasuk of Asher Lavash, why we know that we have two different Kiddushim and associated with each one of the Tefillahs. This is the approach of Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. So we're going to see these are really three different approaches. Let's go back to the beginning. Omer Rabbi Yehuda. We're now going to go through this braita and understand it fully. Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Minay in lechamish tefilot ve'asara kiddushin shetov v'kohen gadol mekadosh bo bayom. Tamud lomar uba aron. So here it says uba aron alol moed. And then it says, after he takes off his big day lavan, Virachatzit Bisaro Bamayim Bamakam Kadosh in Pasuk 24. So Holamadita, Shekola Mishanemi Avodale Avodat. These are all the words of Rabbi Yehuda, right? And we said when we read them, what do you mean Holamadita? How do we learn from there? But so let's just finish. This is the raw data again of Rabbi Yehuda. Holamadita Shekola Mishanemi Avodale Avodat. Toun Tefillah. So now we have the relevant questions to that assertion, because it's an assertion that does not seem to be based on anything over here. So again, what I'd like to do is just for you to please keep in mind what has happened. Basically, Rav Yehuda learns out the din of tefillah from the Psukim of 23 to 24, which talks about the Uba Aaron, which was our crucial pasuk today, where he takes off his begadim and he leaves them there. And then it says that he has to wash Bisoro, which means tefillah. And then he puts on his big day zahav to do elo ve'elaham in the next pasuk. So apparently you see from there that you need to go to the mikveh. How would he know that you also need to do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim? That he would learn from the kal vachomer that we just brought. Okay? So that is also true, but only once. How would he know that you do it twice? That he also learns from this group of crucial psukim, pasuk 23, which says the extra words, asher lavash, which is obvious. So that asher lavash is coming to tell me that it's comparing the lavisha to the pshita. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi, he says, no, I learn out the din of tefillah from pasuk dalet. Over there, we're talking about putting on your big day lavan. So when you're putting your big day lavan, it says over there, you have to wash. And that means that he's got pasuk chav gimel chav dalet free, because he says, I learn out all changes required tefillah because of the hekesh that was mentioned also, big day kodesh haim. Any big day kodesh is the same, requiring tefillah. And therefore, from the extra verachatz in Pasuk Chaf Gimel Chaf Dalet, Rebbe says that verachatz is referring to washing your hands and feet from the kiyar. Totally different issue. I don't have that kal v'chomer. Even though it says rachatz et bisaro, it doesn't mean it bisaro, which we now have to get into to explain. But now let's ask the relevant questions of Rebbe Yehuda. Excuse me, please, Rebbe Yehuda. All you've shown us from Pasuk Chaf Gimel Chaf Dalet is that when you change from Big Day Lavan to Big Day Zahav, you need to do tefillah. How do we know that if you change from Big Day Zahav to Big Day Lavan, you need to do tefillah? You didn't tell us that. Well, the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael says you don't need a pasuk for that. Maybe it's a kal v'chomer. As Tosis explains, he's not saying that that's true. He's saying that this is a possibility, and he says it in both directions, as we'll see. Neither possibility ends up being reliable, as he himself points out. So Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, it's a kal v'chomer. If Big Day Zahav, which he cannot go in lifnai v'lifnim, so they're not as holy, right? So nonetheless, you're going to need tefillah if you're going into them. So if you're putting on your Big Day Lavan, which, whoa, that is super duper extra kodesh, because nichlas bem lifnai v'lifnim, those begadim are going to take you into the sanctums of the sanctum. Eino din shaton tefillah? So for sure you should need tefillah. Says the Gemara, yeah, but no. That's not a good enough raya. Why? Because Ikala Mifrach, Big Day Zahav, I understand that maybe over there I need to do a tefillah, because Kaparatan Meruba, they are mechaper on so many different things and are used for so many different avodas. Those are two elements in the issue, one Rashi and one Tosfos, respectively, that I just said. So their kapora is meruba as opposed to the Big Day Lavan, which are not. So maybe for Big Day Lavan, you do not need to have a tevila. Therefore, that nafkale min Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda himself, also needs to have pasuk dalet, because pasuk dalet is talking about needing tevila for the Big Day Lavan. And psukim chav gimel chav dalet, it's talking about needing tefillah for Big Day Zahav. So Rebbe Yehuda holds you need both psukim. Rebbe says, of course you don't need both psukim. Now let's analyze Rebbe. Minayin lechomish tefillahs v'atzara k'dush v'tovah kohen godom kadosh bo bayom. Talmud lomar posik dalid. K'tonet bat kodesh shil bash, and so on and so forth. And then it says, v'rachatet b'soro b'mayim ulvesham. Halamadet hashakol ha'mishaneh mi'avodah li'avodah ton tefillah. Asks the Gemara now the relevant questions on Rebbe. How do we see from there that all begotten, maybe all it says over here, is that if you're putting on your Big Day Lavan, so you're changing from Big Day Zav to Big Day Lavan. But how do we know that if you're changing from Big Day Lavan to Big Day Zav, where does it say that you need tefillah? And here again comes along Rebbe Yishmael in the opposite direction to make the opposite kal v'chomer, because as I said, Rebbe Yishmael is just trying to present the possibilities of the interrelationship. He is not telling you halach l'maaseh where to learn it from. So Tana Devei Rebbe Yishmael, well, here we also have a kal v'chomer. Now this is a contradiction to his previous kal v'chomer. Ma Big Day Lavan she'ein kaparatan meruba ton tefillah. So the very thing that destroyed his kal v'chomer before is the basis for the kal v'chomer in the opposite direction. If Big Day Lavan that don't do very much and are only used for Tumas Migdash v'Kedoshav once a year, and nonetheless, when you put them on, you have to go to the mikvah. So these incredibly powerful begadim, the Big Day Zahav, that are mechaper all year round, so many different things, eino din sh'touni tefillah, no. Because I can show you that that's not necessarily a raya. Ikala Mifrach, exactly what the original kal v'chomer was, is now the pircha to this kal v'chomer. Mala Big Day Lavan, you know why. Big Day Lavan needs to have tefillah, perhaps. Because shekei nichlas b'em lifnai v'lifnim. Because you're able to go into the kodesh HaKadosh. But when it comes to the Big Day Zav, maybe they're less kodesh and therefore require less not tefillah. Therefore, now we understand why Rebbe added the addendum to his limud. That's why Heino Diktani, that's why Rebbe said in that brayta, Ve'omer, and it says, Big Day Kodesh, Shem V'rachatz, B'mayim Bet Besarol Ve'sham, to compare all the begonim to each other. And therefore, since it's a given in Pasuk Dalet that you have to have a tefillah for Big Day Lavan wearing, so we now know you have to have a tefillah for Big Day Zahav wearing. Now, the next piece of the brayta. V'chamish avodotein, tomid shal shachar is b'big day zav. Remember, tomid shal shachar includes also the k'teiras, the sidra menorah, the chavitim, and so on. The group that we're calling, the set of avodot is called tomid shal shachar. And that's the way we'll be referring to it throughout the Masechet, but you need to remember every time, it does not mean only the tomid shal shachar. Okay, that's b'big day zav. The avodas hayom is b'big day lovin. And remember that that includes his parchatat, and the sa'ir la'ashem after the goral, and it includes lifnai v'lifnim, zrika achas l'mala v'achas l'mata for both of those. It includes the heichal zrika sachat l'mala v'achas l'mata on the parochet. It includes the arba kronot of the mixed dam. It includes the sheva hazaot towards tiarosh ha'mizbeach. All of that is part of what we're calling, and of course includes the keteres of Yom HaKippurim, which is special besides the normal two keteres of the day. And this one is brought lifnai v'lifnim, the only time that we ever do that on Yom Kippur, achas b'shana. So that is all called the avodas hayom. All of that is done by Big Day Lava. Then he goes out, now that we've understood that Pasuk Chav Gimel Chav Dalet is in the wrong place, and Uba Aharon is said after the next pasuk of Elo ve'ela'am. So then he puts on his big day zav and he does Elo ve'ela'am, completing the matching Ela to the chataot that he's brought. Then he puts on his big day love and goes back in, because now kicks in pasuk Chav Gimel that was in the wrong place. And now he goes in with the kaf hamachta, with the big day love on. Then he takes off the Big Day Lavan, puts on his Big Day Zav, and goes to the Tamid Shel Bein Arabayim, which includes the Karbanos Musafim, and includes taking care of the other parts, the Emurim and the Basar, sending them out of the Par and the Sair, and so on and so forth, including the Menorah, including the Keter Shel Bein Arabayim. That's all called the Tamid Shel Bein Arabayim. Okay, now, how do I know that each one of these tefillos needs two kiddushim? So that, as Rebbe said before, upashat v'rachatz v'rachatz v'lavash, which takes us back to Psukim 23 and 24, which according to Rebbe Yehuda was a reference to tefillah. According to Rebbe, is a reference to kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, even though it says et bisaro. So that was the pasuk uba aharon, the one that was out of order. Upashat v'rachatz et b'saro b'mayim v'lavash et b'gadav. Those are the drushes that we made yesterday. They don't work according to Rebbe Yehuda, because according to Rebbe Yehuda, they are the mekoros of tefillah. And he needed that for tefillah, because he argued on Rebbe that we could derive all tefillah for Pasuk Dalet. And that's why he needed the Kal V'chomer and the remez, additional remez, asher lavash, to teach me that each one of them requires Shnei Kiddushim. Mashenken Rebbe understands the Shnei Kiddushim as coming from the words Verachatz in Pasuk Chav Gimel and Chav Dalet. Ask the Gemara, but wait a second, it says it Bisaro. And Bisaro refers to not your Yadayim, it refers to your flesh. So it's referring to going into a mikveh. How can you say it's a reference to only Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim or B'Tvilaktiv? Well, says Rebbe, why would I need it to tell me tefillah? Im eino inyan tefillah, which I already learned out from the riboy of Big Day Kodesh Haim back in Pasig Dalet. So now kicks in this halach, im eino inyan le'ex, tneu inyan le'y. And in this case, im eino inyan le'tefillah, tneu inyan le'kiddush, which is a general klal in the Torah. It's one of the midah shatar nidreshes b'hem. So then why don't you say so? Why pretend that he's washing his flesh? Say, lichtevei rachmona b'loshin kiddush. Tell me that it means kiddush yadayim raglayim. Ah, that's an important halacha. That tells me, akamashmon, that tefillah has to be like the kiddush. So just like kiddush yadayim raglayim has to be in a mokum kodesh, af tefillah has to be in a makom kadosh. The same way the Kiyaret says, "Virachatz b'makom kadosh." So therefore, the tefillah must also be b'makom kadosh. Okay, but now according to Rabbi Yehuda, how does he know that din, that it has to be, that he uses upashad v'rachatz, he uses that from tefillah. So how does he learn this din, that you need kiddush each time? No, he learned that from the Kal v'chomer of Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Shimon, together with the extra limud of begadima shelavash klum adam poshet elama shelavash, together that teaches him what this pasuk teaches according to Rabbi. Okay, so the last thing that we learned was that according to the way Rebbe is learning out the halacha of Rechitzas Yadayim V'Raglayim, is he takes the pasuk Chav Gimel and Chav Dalet, that according to Rebbe Yehuda was a reference to Tefillah, and he says, no, it's not a reference to Tefillah, because we already learned out Tefillah from pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet already spoke about the Big Day Kodesh Heim, compared all of the Begonim to the Big Day Lofan, and therefore we learned out from there, that just like it says over there, V'rachatz et Bisaro B'mayim, same thing would be true about any of the changes of clothes. So I don't need Pasuk Chav Gimel and Chav Dalet, where we have first Upashat et Begadav, and then we have Inichum Sham in Chav Gimel, and then in Chav Dalet we have, again, we have the V'rachatz, that is followed in Pasuk Chav Dalet by Vilavash, which is a reference to now putting on the Big Day Zahav. I don't need that, because I was already Yotze the Limut from Pasuk Dalet and the Hekesh of Kol HaBegadim. What do I do, therefore, with the Rachatz? So remember that Rebbe said, you take that V'rachatz and you put it between the Pashat and between the Lavash, which means that you need a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, which is how he's explaining V'rachatz, Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim in between Upashat and Lavash. Now that seems to mean, and this is exactly what Rav Chisda is assuming, that seems to mean that he's naked, because it says he took off his clothes, and then it says V'rachatz, and then it says he put on his clothes, right? So it's mashma, according to that, that according to Rebbe, you do both kiddushim without clothes, because you took off your old clothes, v'rachatz, you have to put on your new clothes, v'rachatz, and then put on your new clothes. Therefore, says Rav Chisda, the way Rebbe is learning, it's running against everything that we learned until now, because it goes against the pshat of Rebbe Meir, and it goes against the pshat of the Rabbanan. Obviously, because look, the Rabbanan say that they learned out from the Hekesh of the Lavash and the Pashat, that the idea over here is that they're exactly the same. Kishu lavush mikadesh. It means that just like when you put on your new begadim, you then did kiddush adayim. So too, when you took off your own begadim, your old begadim, you first wash, because it means you always wash when you're dressed. And according to Rebbe, the way Rav Chisda understands Rebbe, you always wash when you're undressed. So that can't be true. Okay, but even Rebbe Meir does not agree over here with Rebbe, because Rebbe says, look, at the second one, Rebbe Meir agreed that now it's Moshe watching Sesame Street. I mean, this is unbelievable. So according to Rebbe Meir, the last kiddush you do when you're lavush, and according to him, the last kiddush you also do before you put on your clothes, because according to Rav Chisda, Rebbe holds that you do both of your kiddush while you're undressed. Says Rav Acha bar Yaakov, I disagree. I don't think you're right about that. I think that there's definitely has to be a kiddush. The kiddush sheni is when you're wearing your clothes, even according to Rebbe, and that it's not true that just because the word v'rachatz comes in between, that Rebbe meant to imply that you need to be undressed when you do that. Because look, it says beferish in the pasuk like this: when do we do the kiddush adayim v'raglayim? So it says, when we built the kiyor, it says, bevo'am el ohel mo'ed, yirchatzu mayim velo yamutu, o begishtam el ha-mizbech l'sharet l'aktir yishal Hashem, right? Okay, so what does that mean? That means that you only do your kiddush yadayim raglayim when begishtam el ha-mizbech l'sharet. But if you would do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim before you put on your clothes, you can't obviously go and be Misharet, because you have to be wearing Bidikuna when you're Misharet, correct? And the Pasuk says you do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim only when you are ready to be Bikishtam al HaMizbeach. So there's no way to avoid the understanding that the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim prior to Aveda has to be while you're wearing clothes. So Misha'inu Mechusar Ela Gisha, that the Pasuk is saying, look, if the only thing that you're going to have to do is walk over to the Mizbeach, then you do your Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. If you're going to be Mechusar Levisha and Gisha, that's not when we have the mitzvah of Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. So, now the question is whether this necessarily means that Rav Chisda was wrong. Because, I mean, the truth is that Rav Chisda could say, look, I didn't say you don't have to have a Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim before you go to do the Aveda. After you put on your clothes, then you'll have to do another Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. But the Rechitza that's mentioned over here comes between Upashat et Begadavi Nichum Sham V'rachatz V'lavash. So the Torah is obviously telling me, look, besides the Bikishtam al HaMizbeach, which is always B'chayim, Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, besides that, you'll have to have one in the middle after you take off your old clothes before you put on your new clothes. But what would that mean? If that were true, then there would be 15 different requirements for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, because each one would require first taking off your clothes, doing a Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, going to the mikveh, before putting on your clothes, doing a Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, putting on your clothes, and then Bikishtam al HaMizbeach, again doing Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. That equals three times Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim for each one of the five tefillahs. And that's 15 tefillahs, okay? That's not what we learned. I mean, so the question over here is, are these approaches mutually exclusive? Rav Acha bar Rava and Rav Chisda. Because Rav Acha bar Rava is saying the second Kiddush has to be right before you do the Aveda, and Rav Chisda says the second Kiddush has to do right before you put on your clothes. Are they mutually exclusive? Says Rav Acha bar Rava or Rav Ashi, yes, they are mutually exclusive. Because this Rav Acha, this is a different Rav Acha, that was Rav Acha bar Yaakov we were talking about. This Rav Acha bar Yaakov, not to be confused with Rav Acha bar Rava, who is saying this statement, neither of them can hold of each other. They've got to be mutually exclusive. Rav Chisda doesn't agree with Rav Acha, and Rav Acha cannot agree with Rav Chisda, because if they're not mutually exclusive, then somebody is going to be telling me that you need 15 different Kiddush Yadayim, 15 different Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, three per tefillah, right? Because if they agree with each other, so then L'Rebbe Avilecham Yisar Kiddushim, because you would need the two in between while you're undressed, and the one right before the avodah after you put on your big nekuna when you are dressed. So that we don't believe, because nobody said that. Hevilu et ha-tamid. And anyway, we said that before. We have that as a Kabbalah, remember? Hevilu et ha-tamid. Okay, next piece of the Mishnah says that they brought the tamid to the Kohen Gadol, and then instead of saying he shechted it, it says kiratso. What exactly kiratso means? Like he cut it. Cut it? I mean, tell me he shechted it, right? So what does that word exactly imply? My kiratso. Omar Ula, the word kiratso is a different way to say killed. Killed? Yeah, look at the pasuk. Omar Nachbar Yitzchak Mikra. Egla yefe fiya Mitzrayim. Oh, it's a beautiful country. Keretz mitzafon ba ba. Okay, how do I know what that means? My mashma. Take a look at Rav Yosef. He was mitargim the pasuk, right? Malka yoyavi Mitzrayim. What a beautiful country Mitzrayim is. But amamim kitolin mitzafona yetunala. There's going to be these murderous barbarians that are becoming from the north to kill them. So you see clearly that keretz, he's being mitargim the word keretz, kitolin. Okay. Kiratzo. When it says that the Kohen Gadol killed it, I mean, how much of the Shechita did he do? How many of the Simonim did he cut? Omar Ula, why? He did a kosher Shechita, obviously. He cut both Simonim. V'chein Omer Rabbi Yochanan Barov Shnayim, and then he handed the knife over to another Kohen to finish, and that way he would be able to grab the coast to be able to be mekabel the dam before the blood starts spurting. And Reish Lakish also has to agree with Ula and Rabbi Yochanan, because Reish Lakish says about the Mishnah in Chulin, which is a strange Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about Hashochet Echad Biyof, Shnayim Bebehema, and then it says Ruba Shalachad Kamohu, and then it repeats Echad Ba'ov, Rov Echad Ba'ov, Rov Shnayim Be'Behema, it's kosher. So we ask over there, obviously, if the Mishnah just said, the Mishnah said, you don't need the whole thing, you only need Rov. So then what's the point of repeating at the end, Rov Echad Be'ov and Rov Shnayim Be'Behema? That's what you just said. Ah, so Resh Lakish explained over there, the meaning is like this, that since we learnt over here in Yoma, so now we finally get the explanation of the Mishnah in Chulin when we come to the Mishnah here in Yoma. So Resh Lakish said, look, when you're learning Yoma, you're going to see the Mishnah says, Lafisha Shaninu, Heviyo lo etatamid, and it says, Kiratso mirika hashchita ayado. And then he was mekabel adam et zorek. That's our Mishnah. So you might have thought, said Resh Lakish, when you learn our Mishnah, that yochol lo meirek yehei pasul, you might think that if you didn't have the second Kohen go and finish up the Shechita, it would be pasul. Wait, excuse me, Resh Lakish, stop right there. What are you talking about? How could anybody think such a thing? What do you mean, yochol lo meirek yehei pasul? You might think that if the other Kohen didn't finish it, then it wouldn't be a kosher Shechita? I mean, so then that means that who is doing the kosher Shechita, the other Kohen? But I thought we said all of the Avodas have to be with the Kohen Gadol. So that would be a stupid thing to think. Why would I think that? And why would the Mishnah and Chulin have to come to tell me that that's not true? Of course it's not true. Because Im Kein Havi Le'Avodah Ba'Acher. And didn't we learn in the Braisa, it should say, V'tanya kol avodot yom ha-kippurim enek sheres elobo. You need to have the Kohen Gadol. So what did Rachel Lakish mean to say? No, Rachel Lakish meant to say like this, that yochol ye'posu min rabbonon. We obviously, it's rov echad is fine. Right? But you might think that there was a psul midrabbanan. The rabbanan wanted you to complete the shechita and make sure that you wouldn't become not to be shochet rov and to make sure it would be easy for the dam to flow, because after all, that is going to be what the purpose of the shechita is, to be able to be zorek the dam. Therefore, it says in the Mishnah, in Chulin, even though that's the Mishnah of Chulin, it wants to be merames to what the din would be, even for kachim. So therefore, it says rov echad b'yom for rov shnayim b'behima, that's kosher, even if it were talking about a behemas kachim, there would be no psul, and even mirabban, there would be no psul. Okay, but meanwhile, it's clear that we're talking about, of course, he shechted rov of both simanim when it says kiratzo. That we've established. So everybody agrees that that's the meaning. So wait a minute. Now I'm really confused, because if you're telling me there's no psul whatsoever, even if you were not memarek, so what do we need? I mean, this is like a very clumsy kind of thing. The Kohen Gadol hands, he does the shechita, he hands his knife over to somebody else. Then, I mean, like, why not just skip it if it's not a problem? So lamali lamarek. Why are we doing the marika? No, that's because it's a separate mitzvah, not part of the shechita. There's a mitzvah to be mimarek, because since there's the chiev over here is lechatchila, that you're supposed to be getting all of the dam hanefesh to do the zrika with, so we want to make certain that it's going to be very easy for the dam hanefesh to be yotze. That's how Rashi understands it. That's a mitzvah lamarek.